Blog Talk Radio.
Gospel Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Pastor Cannon. Alrighty, let's get into a prayer here. Amen. Lord God and Father in Heaven, Be with us and let your face shine upon us. For we are your children. During all human planning, we are your children who seek you alone, who seek your will, your kingdom, and everything you have promised to humankind. Fill our thoughts and feelings with your power, so that our lives on earth may belong to you, so that with our whole will may put everything we have and are into our hands. For we want to be your children, to have one will with you, Almighty God. We want your kingdom. This is our will, our Lord, our God, and it is your will too. Therefore, it must come to pass to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Alrighty. Well, let's get into playing some fresh gospel here. Let's start it out with Again by Kirk Franklin, Chandler Moore, and Tori Kelly. Then we'll play He Sees You by Turan and I See Good by Moret Brown Clark. Amen. Here we go.
See, I don't know how, and I can't tell you when our fears will all fade and a new season begins. But I know somehow how the story will end. See, I believe God.
And I can't help you when I defender.
What a voice she has. Amen. God bless her. Amen. 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 All righty. Well, let's get into tonight's service. Okay? Okay. And this is Get Your Relationships Right, Part 1. And it's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 26. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel. But whoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and the remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him. Lest any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be no means come out thence till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. So when God created man, he did it so that man could have a relationship with him, and both with each other. God was not lonely when he created man, but he did want his creation to worship and praise him. In order for us to do that, so we must have a relationship with him. God is not looking for us to be religious when it comes to him, but it does want us to be in relationship with him. Have you noticed that it's a lot easier to deal with people when your relationship with them is going well? You can talk to them about anything and everything. You can hang out with them and not have to worry about what they are thinking about you. And you don't have to worry about avoiding them when you see them. But you can spend quality time building that relationship. Newsflash. Most times we avoid God because our relationship with him is not right or current. Because sometimes we're not doing everything to build our relationship with him. It becomes difficult to deal with God. I have learned and am learning that God loves us so much that he will patiently wait for us to come back to him to get things right with him. I'm reminded of the parable that Jesus shares in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. We must understand that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly message. So Jesus uses things in this world to help us understand the heavenly message. In this parable, a son goes to his father and asks for his inheritance before the father dies. The father agrees, and the son leaves home, blows all his money, gets it to the point that he spends all of his inheritance on fast living, thus finding himself eating with the pigs. He realizes his father has much wealth and many servants and decides to go back home to his father and become one of his servants. When the father sees the son a great distance off, he runs to meet him. In leaving, the father receives him not as a servant, but as a son and restores the relationship with him. That's how God wants to deal with us. He's ready to restore us as his children. But we've got to take the steps to restore a relationship. Today we want to deal with the topic, Get Your Relationship Right. In our select text, Jesus is continuing his exposition of the Sermon on the Mount and sharing with those in attendance truths that affects and impacts their lives on a daily basis. One thing can be said about the Word of God is that it transcends time and is just as acceptable today as it was when it was being written. Here the Lord is dealing with a few things that we are pertinent then and are still pertinent now. Let's deal with them as well. If you're going to get your relationship right, we must be careful how we handle people. In verses 21 and 22, in these verses, Jesus is dealing with a topic of murder, which is the taking of one's life. If we were so closely take inventory of this, we would come to the conclusion that we don't have the power to give life, and therefore we don't have the power to take it either. when he said in verse 21, ye have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. He was making reference to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17, which both reads, thou shalt not kill. The word kill in our select text means to murder, slay, or in other words, take another's life. I have found that we don't normally kill people by taking their lives, but we do have the power to kill people by killing their goals, killing their dreams, or killing their spiritual growth. Here's what I'm getting at. People join a local church and want to get involved, but the people already involved don't look too kindly on newcomers because of the way they dress, because they don't know much about the Lord, or because of their background. Too many times we only want to be around people who are just like us, and so we'll push them away because of our perceptions of them. Or when they do get involved, and because we don't have a solid understanding of the Word, we try to get them to take our ideas and what's being taught and have the Word compromised to fit society instead of having society to fit the Word of God. So let me be very clear and real here. God has not changed. His Word has not changed. And He will never change. I know society is changing, but society needs to change to the Word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In being careful in how we deal with people, we have to be careful as to what we say to them. In verse 22, Jesus uses the word raca, an old Aramaic word that only means, which is only used at this time in Scripture. Strong exhaustion, according to the Bible, defines the word raca as, O empty one, though worthless, or a term of utter vilification. Wants to be called worthless or empty. Not me for sure. I'm confident you feel the same way. Therefore, we should be mindful of what King Solomon says with us in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, which reads, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So right here, the Lord begins to get deep on us. He's dealing with the fact that we can't rightfully bring a sincere gift to Him. If we have issues with one another, the word gift in this text comes from the Greek, dorana, and literally means a present, specifically a sacrifice, a gift, offering, and He's telling us we can bring it to Him in good standing if we have problems with each other. I said in the previous chapter that sometimes we do things that are not quite up to the Lord's standards and we'll give the excuse. But the Lord knows my heart. Guess what? He knows if your heart is not right when it comes to how we deal with each other. Say amen or ouch. You know which one applies to you. One of the things the Lord is dealing with here is reconciliation, which means to reestablish a close relationship between, to settle or to resolve. According to the preacher's outline in the Sermon Bible, there are at least four reasons why this is so important. One, reconciliation with God is one of the major purposes of a worship. A person worships in order to seek reconciliation and fellowship with God and His people. Therefore, God does not accept the worship of a person who holds malice against Him or any of His people. Two, a person is to worship, for worship is essential to life and eternity. But worship is unacceptable to God unless a person is reconciled with his brothers. Three, bad feelings between believers hinder worship. Worship is meaningless unless a person is right with his brother. So reconciliation must always precede worship. And lastly, number four, worship is a time for a person to reflect and to examine his heart and life to see if there's any wicked way within him. It is essential that he search his heart, worship is not acceptable if bad or wicked feelings against others are within the human heart. The bottom line is that you and I cannot come to the house of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth if we have a lot of unresolved issues with our brothers and sisters. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, if a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's why the Apostle Paul shares with us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So we've got to learn how to love one another, get along with one another, deal with the needs to be dealt with, and leave the past in the past. Stop letting the devil bring up news and start sharing good news concerning Jesus Christ. We got to make sure we do what's right. Make sure things are right with each other so we can give Christ what is right. And be careful how we deal with our adversaries. In verses 25 to 26, I think the first thing we need to do here is identify who our adversary is. By definition, an adversary is an opponent or an enemy. Here in the text, Jesus says, agree with thine adversary quickly. Let me be clear here. Jesus is not saying to give in or compromise with your adversary, especially as it pertains to what is contrary to the Word of God. But what he is saying is to work out something that will be mutually agreeable between the two parties. There may come a time when you will have to say, let us agree to disagree. And that's all right. If you're standing on the Word of God, I said earlier that times have changed, but the Word of God has not. And therefore, we should not be compelled to compromise when it comes to His Word. The context of this text has to do with civil suits between two parties and how they can have an impact on each other, and especially on the testimony of the Christians. Christ is saying, we should do our best to resolve our issues before they have negative impact on our walk. People will talk and people will talk. And by the way, people will talk, especially if a Christian is found tied up in court about something that could have been resolved outside of a courtroom. Again, the preacher's outline of the sermon Bible says there are at least two reasons why it is dangerous to hold on in anger. One, there is an earthly danger. Various can lead to serious action ranging from legal seals to imprisonment. Such action is tragic to God among God's people, and is even forbidden among Christians' brothers as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. And secondly, there is an eternal danger. Life does not last, and the day of final judgment is coming. A person's judgment for holding a grudge against a brother will be severe. Jesus teaches us how to deal with adversaries in Matthew chapter 4 when the Holy Spirit sent him out to the desert to be tempted by the devil. Every time the devil came at him, Jesus took him to the Word of God. On three occasions, Jesus said, it is written, and each time he said it, the devil had to back down. In order for us to be able to effectively say it is written, we have to know what is written. The devil is going to come after you, but you've got to handle him just the way Jesus did. So if you want to get all these relationships right, you've got to get the main relationship right, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to accept the fact that it was Jesus who hung, bled, and died on a hill called Calvary. We have to accept the fact that it was Jesus who rose early on a Sunday morning with all the power in his hands. So when we have a relationship with him, it enables us to handle people the right way, enables to deal with one another the right way, and enables to deal with our adversaries. So if you know Jesus, you can know peace. But if you don't know Jesus, there will be no peace. Amen. I hope you got something from this sermon about getting your relationship right. Amen. Well, let's get into a Bible study here. It's going to be on Luke chapter 22. Jesus prepares to be crucified. As the hour of Jesus' crucifixion approaches, Jesus is experiencing turmoil from every direction. The scribes and the Pharisees are closing in on Jesus, preparing to kill him. He's being betrayed by those closest to him. Judas accepted a bribe to turn Jesus in. Peter is about to deny Jesus three times. The stress that Jesus was under was unimaginable. It was so severe that he began to sweat drops of blood from a rare condition called hematidrosis. Hematidrosis occurs when a body is under extreme physical or emotional stress. During hematidrosis, the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood. So in today's lesson, we will look at how Jesus handled adversity and how we should handle the difficulties that we face in our own lives. Three things Jesus did during times of adversity. When we face adversity, we will be wise to learn from the example of Jesus. During the toughest times of his life on earth, Jesus repeatedly did three things. In Luke chapter 22, verse 41, says, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray." In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus shared his concerns with God. "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." And also in Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus accepted God's will and obeyed him. "Yet not my will be yours to be done." So Jesus is God and man. During his time on earth, Jesus was both God and man, as evidenced by the following five scriptures. In John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." In John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "For in him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in his likeness of men." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." So the human side of Jesus was asking God if there was a way for him not to have to endure the excruciating pain that awaited him at the cross. However, after voicing his request, Jesus did what he always did and obeyed his Father. That is an example that we are to follow. Evangelism through obedience is during the most challenging times of our lives that our obedience to God can have the most impact on others who are watching our behavior. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So how we handle adversity says a lot about our faith. The more difficult we find it to obey God, the more meaningful our obedience becomes. So God is always there to help us. It is important to know what happened to Jesus after he prayed. Luke writes in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, "Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him." Notice how God did not spare Jesus, his only son, from going through adversity. Instead, he sent an angel to help him through it. This type of assistance is not reserved solely for Jesus. God may not take away the adversity from our lives, but he will help us through it. God uses adversity to strengthen us and to discipline us as we discuss the following two scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, and not only but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So let us conclude. When we face adversity, it's important to remember three things that Jesus did when he suffered. He found a quiet place to pray. He shared his concerns with God, and he accepted God's answers to his prayers and obeyed them. These are the same three things that we should do when we are suffering. Putting our trust in God allows his plan for us to unfold. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about this in the following scripture, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So we will conclude today's lesson with a scripture taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It reminds us of how Jesus was obedient to God until the very end, and how it is an example that we are to follow. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Amen. I hope you got something out of this idea about Jesus' adversity and how we can handle adversity if you just allow yourself to believe in God that he will help you. Amen. Well, if you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you got a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is say this simple prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. And I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. And I am now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leaves a license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor alone and not to myself. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you to the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said that prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Press that 1 key, and I will bring you on so you can tell the world that you accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior today. Amen. Well, we got some callers here. Let's take them and see who we have. 111, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum, Danny. Where have you been?
I've been sick. I had to take some time off. How you doing, Hassan?
I'm very disappointed in you, Kenny. I had to send out another guy from San Antonio to do your job.
What job was that?
You ever hear of Aaron Bushnell?
I think so.
Yeah, he went in front of the place you were supposed to be with the can of kerosene that was supposed to go to you. And he lit himself on fire instead of you lighting yourself on fire. You see that on the news?
I wouldn't do that anyway. No, I didn't.
Danny, you're supposed to do this for Islam, to show your solidarity. As a former pastor, this means something to Muslims all over the world. You want to die a hero, don't you?
I want to die an old man.
You'll die crispy, but you'll die a hero. Kenny, listen to me. What are you doing next week?
Don't know yet.
I still have money on this Walmart card that I'll give to you. I just want you to buy the kerosene this time. They're a little suspicious of me. And we'll find the Israeli consulate, and you burn yourself right in front of it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm not
going to
do that.
Kenny, I thought you were a protester. You're a social maverick.
No, I'm not a protester.
Jesus was a protester. I thought you had Jesus' life. Yeah, exactly. And that's even more of a reason for you to do this, Kenny.
No, I don't want to set myself on fire. I like myself.
Look, I'll tell you what. I'll go with you, and I will have a fire extinguisher in, let's say, 15 seconds. I'll blow out the fire, all right?
Nah, that's all right. That's okay. Thanks.
12 seconds. Eleven seconds.
No.
10,
five,
come
seconds.
On. You have to show the world that you're a man.
5 seconds.
This guy was disappointed, too. He was supposed to roll and drop and roll, but he didn't. He was pissed at you. He wasn't prepared to do it this week.
Well.
He was a second streamer.
Well.
All right, listen. You don't have to set yourself on fire.
Him.
Just smoke a cigarillo or something, all right? I'll douse you. And you smoke.
111, you're on here.
Hello, Ken. This is Dominguez, the horse. How you doing tonight?
Yeah. Goodbye. No horses talk on this show. All right. Well, okay, let's play some good music here. Okay. Amen. Let's play Worth It by James Fortune and Zacardi Cortez. I Love You by Erica Campbell. And Send It Down by Karen Clark Sherrod. Here we go.
Your waiting time is not wasted time. God's been up to. have the way of ending irritation as preparation. Somebody right now.
Your power, send all over me like a tower. 2020, get trapped. tried to devour, but your angels surrounded me around the clock, 24 hours. Dear Jesus, I don't have to holler, you hear me regardless. Even though I messed up, don't deserve an audience, but you're in the front row of my life. That's how I know I'll be alright. That's why I love you. I love you.
Feel the glory, feel the glory. Days up in the
Wasn't that some wonderful gospel music there? Yes, I love me some gospel. Amen. Amen. All right, we got some callers here. Let's take them and see what we have. 111, you're on here.
Hello there, sir. This is Hank. And I got a person here trying to call from Mexico. And he said that you hanged up on him. He was very important that
he
talked to you.
No, I didn't hang up on anybody from Mexico.
Okay, well, anyways, let me tell you what's going on here. His son is going down to Eagle Pass. He should be arriving there probably by tomorrow. He says he wants to go to San Antonio to follow in his father's footsteps. I don't know what that means. He just told me that he was going over there. His name is Dominguez Jr. Have you ever heard of Dominguez?
Yeah, that's a horse.
Oh, it's a horse. I didn't know that was a horse. He just told me his son wanted to go down there to follow in his father's footsteps. I don't know what that means, but I just wanted to give you the heads up. He should be arriving there probably by tomorrow, the Eagle Pass, and I don't know how long that takes over San Antonio, but his name is Dominguez Jr., and he wants to follow in his father's footsteps. I'm just giving you that.
Well,
okay. All righty. Back on mute.
That's not going to happen here. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir. One one one, you're on here.
Hello? Am I on?
Hello?
Hello,
yeah,
can you hear
on.
Me? Oh, hi.
Yeah.
How you doing? Yes, I like your preaching today.
How are you?
It was very, very, very good.
Huh?
The Bible, what are you talking about? Which part of the scriptures?
Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26.
Oh, that was very, very good. That's very good. I'm just... I don't have a really high voice, you know, but I should be over there tomorrow. This is Dominguez Jr. Okay, kid? You get my horsey cock.
All right.
My horsey cock. Father of my dad.
Yeah.
Footsteps.
Okay. All
right. See you tomorrow.
Okay, see you tomorrow. Bye. All right. 111, you're on air. Okay, goodbye. 111, you're on here. Okay. Well, that's it for the 111 for now. Anyway, let's get into the prophetic word for today. The Father says today that addiction will not have dominion over you. Every chain is being broken. Every bondage is lifted right now. The tentacle of illegitimate dependence is being shattered over your life, says God. I declare to you that you will live and not die. The destroyer is being turned back by unplugging your feet from the net of the enemy. You are not alone. You are not dealing with this by yourself. I see your desolation and your affliction, says the Father. I know your secret shame, and I am extending my mercy and loving kindness this very moment. I have heard your cry. I am lifting your shame and setting you free even this day, says God. I am here by your side. Freedom is yours. My spirit and my presence are liberating you. Know that my presence will unseat the walls of addiction that have hemmed you in. Seek my presence. Fill your days and your nights with songs of deliverance and glory. Soak in the sickness of heaviness of my spirit. Lay all night under the weightness of my Gabbad glory. There is no chain that can hold you. There are not gates that can bar me from bursting into your life, even this day, and setting you free. Amen. Amen. Well, this word goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are that is dealing with addiction. Amen. Okay. 111, you're on here.
Hey, Ken, this is Grover Washington.
What's up, Grover?
Hey, I just want to know why are they saying you're getting boycotted? What'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
There's got to be a reason. Why?
I don't know. It's BBF. He don't happen to have a reason to do anything he does. He's an idiot.
Did you interact with BBF yesterday?
Briefly, yeah.
What'd he say? What's he mad about?
I have no earthly clues.
Well, Jesus. What's this about Dominguez Jr.? Isn't that a horse?
Yeah, it's a horse.
You ever had a horse come over to your house?
No, never had a horse come over.
You remember that? You remember that horse named Mr. Ed?
Yeah, I remember the Mr. Ed show.
He said a horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Yeah.
That's a pretty funny thing.
Yeah, it is.
Hey.
Let's take another floor here.
Go ahead.
Okay, 111. You're on the air. Okay. Goodbye.
Hello.
111. You're on the air.
All right, Ken. Let's come down and discuss things. This self-immolation thing. Listen, we'll do this together. You go first, all right?
Okay.
All right. When do you want me to pick you up?
Next week.
All right. I promise you, after 9 seconds, I will turn the fire extinguisher on you. All right?
That's fair.
Okay.
That's less than 10.
Next week when?
It's not bad.
Okay. Sounds good.
And I'd like you to wear a gay shirt with a rainbow on it.
That's rainbow.
I don't have
industry.
One.
Yeah, you do. It's your show logo.
How do you call yourself Rainbow Ministries and not have a rainbow shirt?
You got to have merch.
I don't have one.
All right, we'll go down to True Hardware. I'll get some cans of paint and spray paint a white T-shirt. Is that all right?
Yeah,
Farrar's got to have one. Get one from Farrar. Farrar's got one a bit.
No.
Does Farrar have
one?
Yeah.
No.
He's got a
3XL. Would it look like a muumuu if you wore one of Farrar's shirts?
Yep.
No.
He's pretty big, isn't he?
He's fat.
No.
Yep, he's fat. He smells like grease and tamales also. He's a Mexican.
Is he a shapeshifter or something? Because I've seen some pictures.
No.
What did you put him on the phone? And by the way, how much does he weigh?
310.
I don't know. Couple hundred pounds.
He doesn't use one of those mop sticks to wipe his ass with, does he?
No.
Just checking.
Candy, do you have to help him wipe his butt? Is that fat?
No. No.
If he needed help, would you give it to him with that personal care?
If he
care?
Needed help, yes, I would help. I would help him if he needed it.
Oh, geez. What I've heard is that you shaved Ferrara's asshole with a lawnmower.
No, no. We got
look,
another
Ken,
caller here.
Look, Ken, one more question.
One more
now, let's
question.
Be honest. I heard some rumors that you didn't do the show because you're helping Ferrara prepare for this Cornhole Nation thing.
Yep.
No, no. He does that all by himself.
So he is doing this Cornhole Nation thing on your time. Probably on your dime,
yep.
too.
No.
Yep.
No, it's not Cornhole Nation. It's Cornation.
All right, Corny Nation, whatever it is.
Hello, sir.
Cornhole.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you guys are selling GRM Force Ones rainbow color from Nike. Can I order some?
No. No, we're not selling anything,
sir. That's what I heard. You got the GRM Force Ones.
That's Nike.
I think he has rainbow horseshoes for sale.
Oh, rainbow horseshoes. Oh, you're talking about, okay. The one with the look like a U?
Like for a horse.
There you
like
go.
Dominguez. Dominguez
oh,
Jr.
Dominguez. Who's Dominguez Jr.?
He's a young horse. He's wants to get a fucking in on Ken.
Oh.
Yep.
Is that kid that wants to get like a bar mitzvah, wants Ken to cut his tip?
That's Victor.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a shout out here to Juan.
Oh, come on. Don't go.
Kid,
don't go.
I'm going to give a shout out to Tony Ferrara. Gavin
Ken,
Morehead,
give me a date.
We gotta go for
a light out.
Ken Gunnarsson.
It's your turn, Ken. This is for the Umar of Islam.
Hey, love you all.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful time.
Bitch, Ken.
Free Palestine.